person that you have next to you. I don't know what, come on, man. Give a hug. Hug. You understand? Abrazo in Spanish. Give a hug at the person that is next to you. Sometimes we forget that for you be happy, you have touched the people every day. And then your body will feel good, and then you will be happy. Because the people, Adventist people, need to be happy. This song that I will sing this morning, I sing this song with my family. And we was in the hospital because our neighbor was dying with cancer. And my husband told me when I arrived here at United States in 2023, that he was upset with God. And when we was singing this song, I was praying at God in this moment that maybe he can work in this moment with him and he can give his life at him. I don't know if this happened, but I saw this man crying a lot when we was singing. I don't know if we was singing bad or because he was he feels connection with God. One day at a time. And this is how we need to live every day. One day at a time. We don't know what will happen tomorrow. We can have plans for tomorrow, but are you sure that you will be tomorrow and alive? One day at a time.
I'm just a woman. Help me believe in I what could be and all that I am. Show me the stairway I have to climb. Lord, for my sake, teach me to take one day at a time. One day at a time, sweet Jesus, that's all I'm asking of you. Just give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. Yes, there's the time, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. Lord, help me today. Show me the way one day at a it's worn out and dead. Fashion and shouting, but crowd up my mind. So for my soul, teach me to take one day at a time. One day at a time, sweet Jesus, that's all I'm asking of you. Give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. Yes, there's this time, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. Lord, help me today, show me the way one day at a time. that soul, it must be of you. Just give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. Yes, this is good, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. Lord, help me today, show me the way one day at a time. Lord, help me today, show me the way one day at a time.
Amen.
Scripture reading is found in Luke 11, 9 through 13. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask of him?
Happy Sabbath. It's been a while since I've been here, but it's good to be back and meet with you again. I just want to start out by saying there is nothing wrong with what your bulletin secretary did, that you don't have information in there. Yeah, I was going to say it was me, but I kind of put the blame on the Lord a little bit. And the reason I did that is I have quite a few sermons from Rapids and other churches I've been at. And I was just going to grab one of the sermons I haven't had here yet. And so yesterday, I sat down to do that. And I was looking through some of the sermons, and I thought, yeah, this would be the good one. And the Lord said no. And I said, well, what about this one? The Lord said no. And he very clearly, through the Holy Spirit, said to me, I want you to write a new sermon. Now, this was yesterday. Well, actually, yesterday afternoon, I was busy in the morning. And I said, Lord, why? These other sermons are good, but you'll see that I believe the Lord has a special message for us. And it is through the work of the Holy Spirit that that is accomplished. And so he told me and helped me with it that I want you to write a sermon on the work of the Holy Spirit. And he gave me so much information, it's probably going to be a three-part series. But today I'm introducing the topic on the work of the Holy Spirit, and there is a reason for that I will explain in just a minute here. Let's start out with prayer too. I'd like to have an extra prayer here today. Dear Lord, thank you for being with us. Thank you for the Holy Spirit, sending the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the work of the Holy Spirit, especially in the time we are in, as it is so needed for us to see you, for us to see the Father, for us to live in these end times. So please, Lord, take my mind, take my tongue, and have this message all about you, Lord. In your precious name we pray. Amen. For the last couple of years, and I'm going to get a little personal here, but we're family. You know, I may go to Rapids, but we're family. And for the last couple of years, I have been persecuted like I have never been before. I have never felt such evil come against me. I have had nights where I felt like the devil was suffocating me. And the persecution existed of slanderous false accusations against me, lies trying to destroy me and my work for the Lord and my work at Rapids, trying to destroy my relationship with the Rapids Church, trying to destroy my work as the radio station manager, trying to destroy my family life. He didn't stop at the church. He very seriously attacked my family life. And with the radio station, the attack has never been so severe. Over the last, I don't know if you listen to the radio station, you may have heard a couple days where we were off the air. It was just dead space. Over the last few weeks, the radio station, the transmitter site, we have two big three-ton HVAC units. And for those that don't know what an HVAC is, it's basically an air conditioning and heating unit together. Our transmitter puts out 30,000 watts of power. And that heats up real quick inside the tower shed. And so the HVAC units are very important. While we had one of them, we have two, one is the backup, we had one of them a month ago went down. The wheel for the fan, just the shaft broke, and the wheel tore up the inside of the unit. And it's still not corrected. We finally got all the parts. And then over this last couple weeks, twice, the other unit has gone down. One time, the drain for the condensation plugged, and it froze the unit. Another time, the Freon plugged and it stopped the unit. And it takes about 10 minutes and the temperature in there goes up to 100 degrees. And when that happens, the transmitter shuts down automatically. And I have to go in there and shut it down. Satan's been under attack, well, has been attacking. And attacking everything that I personally am involved with. Now, I'm not saying this to look for pity or anything. What I'm saying is that the Satan is out there like that roaring lion we read about. And he's attacking, and he's attacking, and he is attacking. I have felt that very clearly over the last 2 years. I thought it would eventually stop, but it only got worse. And my faith was slipping. I took a step back from giving sermons. And people helped me with the positions that I had as head elder at the Rapids Church. We have a family that came together and helped, but my faith was slipping. One day within the past couple months, I clearly heard the Lord tell me that I was not really where I should be in my relationship with Him, which was a shock. Here I thought I was ready for I was ready to be transported. Here I am, Lord. Come and get me. I'm perfect. You know, and I didn't come out and say it, but our minds kind of get that way. And when your mind gets that way, your study suffers because you don't see the need to open the Bible as much when you think you're already there. And that's where my mind was, and I didn't even realize it. It was nothing really bad. I didn't do anything that was against the Ten Commandments or anything. But I was just not as close to Him as I should be and needed to be. And Satan took advantage of that. I asked how, since I thought I was doing good in my studies and my walk with Him, but he showed that I was not doing as good as I thought I was. He very clearly told me that I needed to study more and to work and the work of the Holy Spirit on the work of the Holy Spirit, and even gave me a book to start with. And I can't emphasize this book anymore. And it's called Steps to Personal Revival. couple years ago at Rapids, we gave these books out to all the church members. And I did what probably a lot of church members did. I said, oh, that's great. Sometime I'll get to it. Anybody ever have those books at home? Sometime I'll get to it. The Lord clearly in my mind said, open up this book and study it. And not only stop at studying it, but go through the book and study it at least 6 times to really get it ingrained into your mind. And I've been working on that. But that book brought me to a relationship with Christ through the Holy Spirit I can't remember ever having. I'm still working on the 6 times, but I'm going through it. But every time I've gone through it again, I see in more and more who the Holy Spirit and His work is in a way that I didn't see it before, because I was sitting in my chair with the book on the shelf thinking I was there. And I wasn't. It doesn't make any difference what position you have in the church. Doesn't make any difference how many sermons you've given. It's your relationship with Christ that is everything. And we will not ever have a relationship with Christ without knowing the Holy Spirit. It's impossible. And I didn't realize that as much as I do now. The Holy Spirit is everything to take us to Christ. We cannot. You ever wonder why it says, and I get this question all the time in Bible studies, the Bible tells that if we sin against God, that's okay. We can come back, the Father. If we sin against Jesus, that's okay, because we can come back. If we sin against the Holy Spirit, we're lost. Ever wonder why? It's because the Holy Spirit can bring us back to Christ and God if we kind of stray. But if we chase the Holy Spirit away, there is no one left to take us, bring us back. And that's why the unpardonable sin is a sin against the Holy Spirit, not against God, not against Jesus. It's because we've chased the Holy Spirit away, and once we do that, we have no desire to come back to God. So he showed me clearly that the importance of the Holy Spirit, like I haven't seen before, and this book is a good stepping stone. There is a sermon I've been going through a couple times. You know Dwight Nelson? Anybody? He's retired now, the senior pastor at Andrews University. And he gave a 3-part series on just this book and the need for the Holy Spirit. Beautiful series. It's online. You can see it. But he saw this, the importance of how the Holy Spirit is presented in this book. Since I've done this, I'm still in a battle with the devil. The devil's not going to give up easy. I'm still in a battle with the devil, but I'm now learning how the Holy Spirit and the Lord is helping, and my faith is now getting back to where it should be. As the battle continues, I now see that the Lord is showing me the importance of the Holy Spirit and His work in my life and all of our lives. But I'm still in that battle. He's relentless. You know, I've had relatives and friends come up to me and ask if I have boils yet, pointing to Job. Now, I don't claim to have what Job, the trials Job had. But I have trials that are very serious to me, even to the point where I almost just resigned all my positions from the church and just wanted to hide like a monk. Those were the attacks were so severe. still working with my family, still working with how some people see me at the church from all the lies and slanderous activities. But I now see the Holy Spirit in a way I didn't see him. And through that, I have the faith and the trust to go forward that I didn't have before. The mistake I was making was that I was putting feelings in front of faith. Dangerous, dangerous thing to do. Mrs. White tells us that feelings are the avenue for Satan to reach us. That when we let our feelings get the best of us, when we get down because poor this thing or that thing happened, that's where Satan can enter us and get into our minds and get us depressed. And I see that now. And so I pray daily that the Lord will put faith and trust ahead of feelings. But I want us to take a look at the work of the Spirit. This is kind of an introduction. This is what I would say part one of looking at the Holy Spirit. Now, I'll have a number of texts. I won't be able to read them all by any means because of time. But if you have a pen or pencil and you want to jot them down, I would get that ready. Because I'm going to be going through this fairly quick in the last 20 minutes that I have here. First of all, though, I do want us to open up John 16:7. So if you go to your Bibles and look up John 16:7, this is what really started the thought process in my mind on the importance of the Holy Spirit. John 16:7 tells us, "Nevertheless," and it's very familiar to you all, I'm sure it is, but let's read it. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage." Who's speaking here? Jesus, God, he's telling us this. He was telling the disciples this. He was telling everybody this. "It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper," who's the helper? "Holy Spirit will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you." And that's always kind of been a question mark, and not a question mark, but just wondering, why was it so important for the Lord to go? Why couldn't the Holy Spirit and the Lord work together? But it tells us, and we will see upcoming here, and some quotes from Mrs. White, that when Christ came and died for us, what did he give up? What was that? When he took on humanity, what did he give up? His omnipresence. When he took the form of humanity, he gave up his omnipresence. He gave up his ability to be everywhere at the same time. He became human. In a human body, and we know that because when we go to heaven, we're going to see one on his hands, the scars, and on his feet, the scars. He is human and gave up his ability to be everywhere at the same time. That's why he needed to send the Spirit, because through working through the Spirit, he can be where he can't in his own body. So he said, "I have to go. I have to send the Spirit, because then I can work with everyone, everywhere at the same time, with the help of his Spirit, the Spirit." So we see why it is important that Christ had to send the Holy Spirit, and we see here the importance of the Holy Spirit, don't we? Because without the Holy Spirit, we don't have that connection with Christ. Impossible. He's human. He can only meet one person at a time without the Holy Spirit. So the importance of the Holy Spirit just jumped out on me and saying, thank you, Lord, for sending the Holy Spirit so we can all be in communication with you at the same time. Question I have here is, why did Christ have to go? We just talked about that. And what will the Holy Spirit do? Well, the Holy Spirit in John 16:7, which we just read, he will take Jesus' place with us. Jesus can't be with us all at the same time, so he's going to be there taking Jesus' place. John 16:7 tells us that. The Holy Spirit will bring Jesus' presence into us. John 14:16-18 tells us that Jesus, the Holy Spirit, wants Jesus' presence right into us. He's what brings Jesus into our hearts. The Holy Spirit will teach Jesus' truths to us. John 14:26 tells us that. That the truths of Jesus will come to us through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, we know, is the teacher, isn't he? He's the one that will teach us of the Lord's truths. John 14:26. And in John 15:26, the Holy Spirit will speak Jesus' testimonies through us. So today I'm praying, Lord, have the Holy Spirit take my tongue and my mind and my heart and every part of me. Because it has to be the Holy Spirit you hear, not Dean Thomas. I'm a sinner like everybody else. I have faults the Lord has brought out very clearly. Even when I thought I was ready for translation. It's the Holy Spirit that needs to speak. And that's what you need to hear. And I pray that's what you hear today, not Dean Thomas. J.I. Packer, author of Keeping in Step with the Spirit, puts it this way, and I love the way he puts this. The Spirit, we might say, as a matchmaker. Everybody know what a matchmaker is? Especially single people, you know what a matchmaker is? The Holy Spirit, we might say, is the matchmaker, the celestial marriage broker, whose role is to bring us and Christ together and to ensure that we stay together. And in my notes, I have stay capitalized. So the Holy Spirit brings us together. We're the church is the bride, isn't it? Christ is the husband. He's bringing us together, the Holy Spirit. And not only brings us together, but the Holy Spirit's work is to have us and help us stay together once we get there. In this world, it's way too easy to separate and harder to stay together. Mrs. White says in Desire of Ages chapter 51 that the Holy Spirit is Christ's representative, but divested of the personality of humanity and independent thereof. In other words, he doesn't have humanity. He's not cumbered with humanity. And it goes on to say that cumbered with humanity, now I'm talking about Christ, Christ could not be in every place personally. Therefore, it was for our interest that he should go to the Father and send the Spirit to be his successor on earth. No one could then have any advantage because of his location or his personal contact with Christ. And that's just what we've been talking about. Christ has humanity. The Holy Spirit does not. So the Holy Spirit can be everywhere. Christ cannot. Desire of Ages, page 669. By the Spirit, the Savior would be accessible to all. In this sense, he would be nearer to them than if he had not ascended on high. Is he of spirit important? When Christ said that he had to go and send the Spirit, was that important? Yes. Brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit, at least for me, is much more important than I had envisioned. I had, oh yeah, Christ is the Savior, absolutely. His death gives us salvation if we choose, absolutely. But let's not forget the work of the Holy Spirit. Because without that work of the Holy Spirit, we are lost. Plain and simple. The Holy Spirit had to come because Jesus gave up his omnipresent for us to die on the cross, and he keeps humanity by doing such. Now let's take a little closer look at the work of the Spirit and see how we should need the Spirit through a parable found in Luke 11, 1 through 13. Very familiar parable. Verses 1 through 4 in Luke 11, we're not going to cover because that's the Lord's Prayer. But that's there to show that we should not be afraid to ask. Because in Luke, after the Lord asks for, and tells us to ask for the blessings from the Lord, and that we should praise the Lord, then he gets into a number of cases where we are asking for things. And we don't have time to read that, but you can read that there. I want to concentrate on verses 5 and forward, and the parable of the friend at midnight, verses 5 through 8. The annoying friend that had a guest come over, and he didn't have bread. So he goes to his neighbor, and he becomes a nuisance, doesn't he? In the parable, you know, at that time, you didn't have a five-bedroom home. Everybody slept together. So he's pounding on that door, saying, I have someone that's come and visit, and I don't have the bread. I need some bread. And the key to that parable is right there, where he says he didn't have the bread and needs some from his neighbor. And his neighbor, who was supposedly a friend, wouldn't get up and give his friend any bread because of their friendship. But finally he gave up and gave the friend all the bread he wanted because he was an annoyance. He wouldn't give up. As one person put it, that, where is my notes here? It was because of his shameless audacity. That's how one translation of the Bible puts it. Because of his shameless audacity, because he wouldn't give up asking for that bread, his friend finally gave up and gave him all he wanted. That bread, brother and sisters, represents the Holy Spirit. And that's what Jesus was trying to teach in that parable. That if you don't have it, you need to get the Holy Spirit. And you need to keep asking and keep begging and keep pounding at the door. You need to show that same shameless audacity until you get that Holy Spirit in your lives. And in the end, in this parable, he did get it and got all he wanted. Now Jesus brings the point home in verses 9 through 13. Because he's showing us how we need to request the Holy Spirit and how many times. There are 10 times, if you look verses 9 through 13, there are 10 times that Jesus tells us to ask or to seek, to go after the Holy Spirit. And we notice in Christ's Object Lessons, page 145, she says that we as Christians need to have the asking attitude. Christ Object Lessons, page 145. She says, we as Christians need to have that asking attitude. We need to ask for the Holy Spirit, and not just once and think we're there, or twice, or daily asking for the Holy Spirit. You know, if you, for parents that have had kids, young kids, mine are way past young, but they're dealing with what we did with him, with them, is that when it's Christmas time, did the children come up and say, oh, I want this one item and that's it? They never ask for anything more or never change their mind? No, it's daily. Well, I want this and I got this and I got, and every time a new Toys R Us ad came out, their list changed. And they ask over and over again. And you as a parent just wait until they finally, in their own minds, get it to the point where they're asking for the same thing over and over and over again. Okay, now I understand what's really important to you. But initially, it's they're asking for everything. And then whittle it down through time. The Lord wants us to ask repeatedly until we whittle it down and see what is important to ask for. And that's the Holy Spirit. That's why we need to see in our lives what is important to ask for. Not like the first list from the kids where they ask for everything. Do you truly want the Holy Spirit? Do you have the audacity to continually ask Him for the Holy Spirit or ask for the Holy Spirit? In our prayer lives, how many times do we ask for the Holy Spirit? I'm not asking for hands. Don't even go there. But it's questions we ask for ourselves. In our prayer lives that we have, how many times are we asking for the Holy Spirit? Are we doing it daily? Are we doing it throughout the day? I can, because I've already told you, I wasn't there. I hardly ever asked for the Holy Spirit. I talked to Jesus and said, I want you in my life. I was completely ignoring the Holy Spirit until I realized how important and what role the Holy Spirit plays in receiving Christ. So that's a question. Do you truly have the audacity to want the Holy Spirit in our prayer lives? Do you really ask for the Holy Spirit? Because as I've mentioned before, we have no relationship without the Holy Spirit. When asking, it must be based on truly wanting Him and not on feelings, too. There are too many religions out there it's based on feelings, and you probably know some of the churches that I, at times, watch on TV, and it's like a circus. They're jumping all around, and they're doing all this and that, and the problem with that, and I've talked to people that have belonged to those churches, the problem with that is when the service is done, and the music is gone, and they're on their way home, so is the Holy Spirit, because they based it on the music, on the feelings. That's why it's important to have trust in Christ as the basis and faith in Christ, not on feelings. In my walk over the last couple of years, I let feelings get in control at times, and I was ready to give up on everything. Satan got in my mind because of feelings. And I thought I lost everything. And I lost my faith because I was putting feelings in front of faith. Brothers and sisters, we need to have faith and trust first before the feelings. We need to say, Lord, I've prayed to you and you promised you will answer every prayer. So I prayed, fulfill your promise. And he does and he will. Mrs. White tells us, as soon as we've prayed, he's answered the prayer. What we need to do is wait for the response. I don't know about you, but my patience, I'm one of those, that old saying, Lord, give me patience and give it now. That has been a learning experience for me. I know the Lord's answered the prayer. I just have to wait for Him to show me the answer. But He will. We just have to do it in His time. Is there anything wrong with the Lord's timing? Is it better than our timing? Absolutely. We just need to have that patience to wait to see the Lord's wonderful work in our lives. Jesus now brings us, like I mentioned in 9:13, verses 9 through 13, to the point of requesting for the Holy Spirit, requesting continuously, requesting and not give up. In those short verses, 10 times, ask, 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 seek. The Lord's telling us very clearly, it's not a one and done deal. It's unlike those once saved, always saved, you know, people that believe that. And I always see that when I go and give a Bible study and I ask, well, are you saved? Oh, yeah, I was saved on June 5th, 1935, well, you know, whatever it was. Right away it tells me he has they have the once saved, always saved philosophy. They think they were saved then when they were baptized or whatever, and then that's it. They can't lose that salvation. It's not that way. We need to do that daily. And the Lord has given us an example. Steps to Christ, November 21st, 1895. Morning by morning, Jesus communicated with his Father in heaven, receiving from him, another capital word, daily, a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit. Daily. And if the Lord needed it, do you think we might need it daily? Absolutely. Acts of the Apostles, page 56. To the consecrated follower of Jesus, there is wonderful consolation in the knowledge that even Christ, during his life on earth, sought his Father daily for fresh supplies of needed grace. And brothers and sisters, in my mind, if Christ had to do it daily, I definitely have to do it daily. Do we really understand what the gift of the Holy Spirit is all about? Is it more than what we ask for? It says, the promised blessing of the Holy Spirit claimed by faith. Now this is Desire of Ages, page 672. The promised blessing of the Holy Spirit claimed by faith brings all other blessings in its train. It is given according to the riches of grace Christ, and He is ready to supply every soul according to the capacity to receive. So once we get the blessings of the Holy Spirit in Christ, it's more than we even ask for. Do you think the disciples in the upper room expected tongues of fire? Do you think they expected to be heard in all these different languages? Once we have the Holy Spirit, it is, the Christ will give us, as it says there at the end, He is ready to supply the soul according to the capacity that they have to receive. He'll fill us up to the top. He gives us more than we ask for. What a blessing. What a wonderful Savior and Holy Spirit. The book, Ye Shall Receive Power, page 221. With the reception of this gift, the Holy Spirit, all other gifts would also be ours. For we are to have this gift according to the plenitude of the riches of the grace of Christ. And He is ready, Christ and the Holy Spirit, is ready to supply every soul according to their capacity to receive. It is based on our capacity, our want, our desire of the Holy Spirit, on how much we receive. Isn't that beautiful? The Lord is there to give us more. Just think of all those gifts the Lord wants to give us. I can imagine if I had a child, when I was a child, I grew up very poor home, didn't have even running water or an indoor toilet for quite a while. And believe me, in the wintertime, going out to an outhouse, you learn to watch your diet and hold it. But, and so we had one gift that we could kind of choose if my parents could afford it. And when we opened that gift, it was the most wonderful thing in the world. And yet the Lord is saying, one gift? I'm giving you as much as you can handle if you want it. And not the gift out of greed. It's the gift of the Holy Spirit. And all that the Holy Spirit has to offer, all that Christ has to offer through the Holy Spirit. But there are prerequisites for this to happen. John 15, 4 and 5 tell us this. And again, because of time, we're going to read it. But it's there, John 15, verses 4 and 5. We need to do two things. We need to have a surrendered life to Jesus. We have to surrender our life to Jesus. It doesn't say we have to be perfect, does it? It says that we have to surrender our life to Him so He can work on that life. And the second thing is we have to live in a continual commitment to Christ. It is a marriage commitment. Christ is the husband, the church is the wife, the bride. It's a commitment, and we got to live in a continual commitment. We got to want to be in that commitment. And the commitment is expressed by some truth that I'm going to go through pretty quickly, but I'll give you the text. First of all, the commitment is expressed by a yearning for God. John 7:37. We must have a yearning for God. We must have trust in God. John 7:38. We must have a complete surrender as the result of this trusting. Romans 12:1. We need to be following God in everything. Acts 5:32. We need to give up our own way, go God's way, and do according to God's will. Acts 2:38. We do not plan anything wrong, Psalm 66:18, and that may seem strange, but we can do that. I remember a friend that was quite a bit overweight, loved her donuts. This is out in California when I was out there. And she kept telling the Lord, and I think there are stories similar to this that you may have heard, because I've heard them too. But with her there, she said, I gotta get off this donut train here. I'm way overweight, I'm exhausted and everything. She said, I'm going to go and trust the Lord. And this is California, so it's hard to find parking spots, especially downtown where she was talking about. She said, I'm going to trust the Lord. Lord, if I go there and there's a parking spot, then you're telling me that it's okay to go in and get a donut. But if there isn't a parking spot, then that's your answer that I'm not supposed to have a donut today. And I asked her, I said, well, what was his answer? Well, the 10th time around the donut shop, a parking spot opened up, so that must have been his answer. We can stretch what God wants us. We can stretch His answers. So don't plan on doing it. Don't set up a plan that eventually a parking spot will open. If the Lord is clearly showing you that the first time around, there's no parking spot, that's the answer. Number seven, we need to realize and admit to our great need. We need to realize we have a need. That was my problem, where I thought I was ready, and I didn't see that there were still things I needed to change to be ready for his return. This world is going to get ugly. I've studied and taught Daniel and Revelation for over 30 years. And every time I get to the ugliness and see the ugliness, it scares me. Mrs. White says she wept for those that are going to have to go through the end time. It's going to be ugly. And if we don't have everything with the help of the Holy Spirit in our lives ready for the Lord, giving everything up and saying, Lord, do whatever it is necessary in my life to make me ready. And if you pray that prayer, watch out. Because he will. And it may not be answers you want to hear, but they are necessary. The Holy Spirit will show us what needs to be. And he did that in my life. Like I said, I'm still under attack. But I now have the Holy Spirit saying, Dean, just the devil, I will take care of him. Trust the Lord, and he will take care of you. And that brings us to the next, is we need to continually ask for the Holy Spirit, as we talked about. Luke 11, 9 through 13, those verses we just covered. Ask, ask, seek, ask, ask, all for the Holy Spirit. And in verse 9, or what number 9, the last one, is we need to be praying daily and throughout the day. Do you think that there is ever, the Lord will ever say to you, oh, you're praying too much, slow down, you know, don't pray anymore, I've had enough? Do you think the Lord will ever say that to us? The Lord wants our prayers continually. And you'll see that in John 7, 37 through 39, praying daily, just like the Lord did. And as our example, if the Lord had to do it and did do it and wanted to do it, I don't see why I shouldn't have to and want to. In closing, our prayers are to be as earnest and persistent as was the petition of the needed friend, of the needy friend who asked for the loaves at midnight. Now, he didn't give up. If you reread that over and over, I mean, he didn't give up, and he wasn't going to give up till he got that bread. And we need to, the bread's the Holy Spirit, we need to keep asking and not give up till we have the Holy Spirit. The more earnestly and steadfast, now this is, I should have quoted, this is from Christ Object Lessons, page 146. Christ Object Lessons, page 146, and I'll start reading it again. It says, our prayers are to be as earnest and persistent as was the petition of the needy friend who asked for the loaves at midnight. The more earnestly and steadfastly we ask, the closer, and I have closer capitalized, the closer will be our spiritual union with Christ. Is that clear enough? Can she make it any clearer? I'm going to read it again. Our prayers are to be as earnest and persistent as was the petition of the needy friend who asked for loaves at midnight. The more earnestly and steadfastly we ask, the closer will be our spiritual union with Christ. Amen. The more you ask, the closer you grow. Now I'm closing with these couple questions that just for you to ask for yourself, and then a quote. First question, how close do we need to get? How close do we need to get? Second question, how close do you want to get? Two questions. How close do we need to get to Christ through the Holy Spirit? Second question, how close do you want to get? in your life. As mentioned in the beginning, my life has been under attack, something that I never expected nor ever wanted. But all through this, and in many ways because of this, of these attacks, we should never look at trials as a negative. You can always have a positive outcome. And I see it in this. I didn't want the trials, but the positive outcome is I'm as closer to the Lord than I think I've ever felt in my life through the Holy Spirit. So it's something I never expected or ever wanted, but all through this and in many ways because of this, my answer would be as close as I can get. That's how close I want to be. How close as I can get. Friends, Jesus is the answer with the help of the Holy Spirit as that matchmaker. Bringing Jesus and us together and helping us stay together.
Dear Jesus, how can we thank you for your sacrifice? And then how can we thank you for sending the Holy Spirit to fill us with you, Lord, to protect us, to guide us, to be there always, to be your partner and help us accept you, that wonderful gift, and help us to eventually come home. Lord, please be with us always. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Continually send him. I pray that all of us will see the need to daily come to you through the Holy Spirit. Accept the gifts that you are offering. And soon, and very soon, have us ready to come home and give that extra special hug that you've been waiting for. We love you, Jesus. And in your precious name we pray. Amen.